I've got something you need to check out. Now, there's ClickUp. If your day starts with 10, 15, 25, or even 40 open tabs, and ends with decision fatigue, because instead of doing your work, you're managing how to manage it. Spreadsheets here, docs there, Slack convos everywhere. It was chaos. But now, there's ClickUp. It brings together projects, docs, conversations, everything in one workspace. ClickUp doesn't just support your workflow, it upgrades it with automation, AI, and customization. It's already trusted by over 4 million teams worldwide, and it helps them finish projects 30% faster. Try ClickUp for free and get 15% off all AI add-ons just for signing up at clickup.com/invest. That's clickup.com/invest. Close your tabs and open ClickUp.
On radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Wednesday, January 14th, 2026 edition of Invest Talk. Happy hump day to everybody. We are almost through the middle part of the week, and soon we'll hit the weekend, and it's a long one. We have MLK Day coming up, so reminder to everyone, the market is closed on Monday. Hopefully everyone takes a little time to rest, regroup, especially after a grueling long holiday season, and you know, start to the year that has certainly caught headlines, that's for sure. And our job here is to help you navigate these interesting times, these trying times, so that you can make better decisions with your money, avoid the pitfalls that are usually driven by fear and greed, emotions, and focus on the facts at hand, the reality on the ground. Not the way you wish the world to be, but the way the world is. And that's what we are here to deliver. Those facts, that perspective, that you can put the odds in your favor. It's never going to be right 100% of the time, but making good decisions based on sound principles and data will put you on the right track to success. So that's what this hour is about each and every weekday. And we mainly answer your finance and investment questions. That's the main point of this show. So I encourage you to call right now at 888-99-CHART. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics for the hour. But as usual, the number one goal on this show is answering your questions. So let's tackle this first caller question now.
Hi, InvestTalk. This is Dave calling from Minnesota. I'm currently calling about the stock SkyWater Technologies, SKYT is the ticker symbol. I invested in this stock about 3 or 4 years ago. It's a chip company. When you guys were talking about buying chip companies that are from the United States, and it's gone up pretty big for me. I'm currently up about 320% of it, and it's making up about 4% of my portfolio. Just wondering your guys' view of this stock or this company moving forward. Do I trim? Do I sell out? What are your guys' thoughts? Thanks.
Looking at SkyWater Technologies, SKYT is the symbol. And this is a very interesting one because, hey, I've never heard of it. I've heard of most companies that are listed out there that are decent size. This one's still pretty small, about $1.5 billion market cap. And it has had quite the rally. Last April, it was trading at around $6 and change. Now we're at $30 and change. And so the question is, what do they do? Is it, it's a semiconductor development company. They do have manufacturing services, packaging services, and they're located here in Bloomington, Minnesota. Obviously, Minnesota is going through some trying times, but clearly this is going up in sympathy of an administration that is really focusing on domestic producers like an Intel and maybe smaller names like this. So is this something that other companies are going to buy. That's what it looks like to me here, because they're supposed to lose money next year. Yeah, they turned a profit last year and this year. Last year and the year before. But for most of their history, they've lost money. So I'd have to really understand the technology. Once again, I haven't heard of it. But it's probably a name that you want to trim at these levels. It's certainly overbought. It's moved a long way. In November, it hit a low around $13. And now it's at over $30 per share. So that's a very, very big move for a company that doesn't make money. Now, if the narrative shifts, obviously this will round trip that move rather quickly. But I probably wouldn't get rid of it, because I do think there is some merit and some momentum to more demand for domestic semiconductor production companies and development companies like this. And so I'd hold on to some of it, but it would be more of a time to rebalance and take some profits off the table. Thanks for the call. Now let's pivot and take a live call. Chris from Atlanta looking at ORI, which is Old Republic International. You own it or looking to buy it?
I've owned it in the past, looking to get back in. I have zero financials in my small portfolio, and this is one I've always liked. Of course, it's run up a good bit. Is there still a good value at this time?
What do you think? Yeah. This is actually a name that we own for clients. It's not a sexy name, that's for sure. Old Republic is an insurance company, about $10 billion market cap, and they provide property and casualty and liability, commercial coverage, title and mortgage insurance, etc. And it's just in a consistent uptrend. So it's earning $3.52 next year. That will be, this year now, will be an all-time high in earnings, 2.7% dividend yield, not a ton of earnings growth, 8% last year, 8% this year, but outstripping inflation, that's for sure. And I think there's an underrated play that a lot of people are not paying enough attention to. It's not just Old Republic, but many other names that are in the white collar work is AI. And we're using it internally, and obviously insurance companies are the same. There's so much more that can be done by the white collar worker using AI and making these companies more efficient and more profitable. And already Old Republic has consistent mid-teens return on equity, just solid, good cash flow. Like I said, cash flow is $1.3 billion on a $10 billion market cap. That's over a 10% free cash flow yield. And what are they doing with that cash flow? Well, they're buying back shares. They're obviously paying out that dividend, and the dividend they had a big special dividend recently as well. So yeah, it recently pulled back from the mid-40s into the low 40s and into some support. So I think this is perfectly a good time to be picking up Old Republic.
Awesome. I appreciate your help.
Thank you for the call. That was ORI. Now we're heading into a short break. Lots more to come during this hour, but most importantly will be your live calls. So don't hesitate to reach out right now at 888-99-CHART.
Serious investors are certain to have finance and investment questions.
I'm looking at an ETF. It's Goldman Sachs, NASDAQ.
And the best person to ask your question in the right way is you.
If that would be a good hold to have in a Roth IRA for the long-term horizon.
And 24/7, rain or shine, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero stand ready to provide their unbiased answers.
This isn't really a copper play. This is a iron ore play with some aluminum copper.
If you're looking at ETFs that hold so few names that are so top heavy, I think it is probably ill-advised to pay an expense ratio like this in order to get exposure that you could really get yourself.
Your participation makes InvestTalk better.
Hey guys, Brian from North Carolina here. I'm a big fan of the show. I haven't missed an episode in over 5 years.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. Official numbers are in now with 62 million downloads. InvestTalk, listen live, or download the free podcast. Call anytime, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. We are going to take another live call. I love these live calls. Tom from Orinda, California. What was your question about, Tom?
Hi there. excuse me. I have a bond laddered portfolio, about 5 years. I have a bond that will be renewing tomorrow. And so I will be putting it out in 2031. I was looking at the company Petros Mexicanos, tickers PEMEX. What do you think of that company for a bond? It's owned by the Mexican government. And should I be concerned with all of the stuff that's going on with this administration in this?
I think the simple answer is yes, you should. If there's what you're probably looking at, my guess is you're looking at something that has pretty good credit rating and has a high yield for that credit rating, right?
Yes.
And we've looked at that one as well. We do the same searches, and we have a much larger library of investment choices, especially on the bond side, than the retail investor. And we've stayed away from that one because of that geopolitical risk, not just with Trump and, his gallivanting around the world, but also, just domestic politics within Mexico as well. Now, Mexican politics are more stable than many other Central and South American countries, but there's still some potential volatility there. Now, does that mean you should avoid it altogether? Not necessarily, but understand that there are a lot of risks. We aren't taking that risk for clients, so I can't advise you to do it, but doesn't mean that it's a bad investment. It just means that you have to go in with your eyes wide open to those potential risks. What happens if President Trump wants to go into Mexico, right? Hit the cartels, and then do what he's done with Venezuela, which is steal the Mexican oil and use it. It looks like he's going to put it in an own offshore bank account. Who knows what happens with it, right? Not to the benefit of Petros Mexicano or any other. So, not to say that's going to happen. I said earlier that they're probably going to hit Iran. I think that's very likely here in the near future. Now, Mexico, that's very much up in the air. Probably won't happen, but it's a non-zero risk in today's world. And you just have to be very aware of that as a potential.
That is very true. And what's your honest opinion? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. I will definitely take that into consideration.
Sounds good. Yeah. My honest opinion is I would stay away from it.
Sounds like it. Thank you very much.
Especially with the marginal improvement in yield you'll probably get. It's kind of picking up pennies in front of a steamroller. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 40 minutes or so. And our main focus point is about CPI day. Sticky 3% inflation. We had Tuesday's inflation report that was out. And we discuss why the last mile of the inflation fight is proving impossible for the Fed to win without breaking the labor market. So we'll dig into that story and obviously today's PPI number. So that will be important to cover. In addition, we'll take a look at the bank earnings. Bank earnings were out as well. What did that look like? How did the market react to it? Apollo Global also coming out and kind of pulling back the reins on risk. And I think that's something to discuss. And then lastly, if we have time, McKinsey, a large consulting firm, is starting to have their consultants use AI assistants. What does this mean for the future of work and white collar work, as I said before? So we'll dig into all of that if we have time. But most importantly, will be your live calls. We have voice bank calls on Coloplast as well as Margin. And then we have some questions that came in earlier on the Invest Talk YouTube channel. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now at 888-99-CHART. Let's take a look at the market today, and it was a decidedly negative day. NASDAQ was down 1% overall, and you had some weakness out of some pretty big tech names, such as Microsoft down 2.4%, Meta down 2.5%, Google was flat. And I think that's a story that is picking up steam here. Anything around OpenAI and that AI theme is starting to weaken. NVIDIA down 1.4% today, Broadcom down 4% today, and Google and Apple hanging in there. And Google, Apple is using Google for their AI. So it's pretty clear that Google is the winner. As of now, things could change, but there's a lot of potential unwinding that could happen with so many people betting on OpenAI and companies linked to it and the amount of investments linked to it, etc. So I think that's a big theme here. You also had Tesla down 1.79% on the day. So a day where you had bank earnings, which we'll get to in a little bit, as well as inflation data, and the market continues to rotate out of the growth side of the market and into value. Large cap growth down 1.79% on the day, whereas large cap value actually was up over 0.5% on the day. So quite the move in today's market. Now we're moving into a break. I'm ready for your calls right now at 888-99-CHART.
The InvestTalk phone lines never close. And now, Justin Klein is here. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, InvestTalk. Bill from Philadelphia here. Calling about Coloplast, ticker symbol CLPPY. It's a Denmark company that handles cold storage for certain markets and carrier devices. It's been in a downtrend for a bit now, and I'm wondering if this would be a possible time to pick some up. It's profitable, has a market cap of around $20 billion, and I think it could be on a little bit of a discount. I'd love to get your thoughts. Thank you so much, and looking forward to hearing on the show.
All right, looking at Coloplast, and this is an OTC name, like you said, out of Europe. And let me just, these foreign names are always a little bit difficult. Yeah, out of Denmark. Obviously, Denmark is dealing with the Greenland situation right now. This is starting to rally a little bit recently. What I like about it is it's gaining a little bit of momentum on the chart. And it does still have a pretty good valuation or a pretty good business with very minimal debt. And I like those businesses. Now, the chart isn't showing me enough yet to get me excited about it, but it's something certainly to have on watch. Return equity is 21.5%, which is still pretty good. Free cash flow around about $800 million on a $20 billion market cap. And that's a pretty good ratio there. Now, they are paying out a good amount on their dividend, so I wouldn't expect their dividend to increase dramatically in the longer term because of just simply it's not making enough to pay out that dividend consistently over the long term. I would like to see them take some of that cash flow and buy back shares, which they're not doing, but they're not also issuing shares either. So that's kind of a neutral part of the analysis here. So overall, I like it because of that valuation, and I'm starting to get intrigued by the chart. But it's still in a downtrend. So I'm not quite there. I would need to get this above the 200-day moving average, which is kind of around the 950 range, 940 range. So if we can get above, let's say, 950, $9.50, right now it's at $8.63, then I would say, okay, the trend has changed. The trend has shifted. And so I'll be on the watch for that trend shift, and then I would pick it up. That's CLPPY, that is Coloplast out of Denmark. Thanks for the call. Let's keep things moving and drop in another fresh listener question now.
Hi, Justin and Luke. I'm calling today with a question about margin. I know Justin has always said a little bit of margin is okay as long as you keep it under control. So my question is, so let's just say hypothetically I borrow $5,000 on margin and I use that to buy a stock. If that stock goes up and I make up that $5,000 back, does that mean that I no longer am under margin and I no longer get charged the interest? Or do I have to recuperate that money by putting it in myself through my own checking account or transferring money in somehow? I'm just curious you know, if I do borrow money off a margin and I make it back up right away, does that mean that those are my gains and I don't have to pay that interest anymore? Just curious how that works. Any information is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
The simple answer is no, it doesn't take you off margin just because you've made money on the stocks that you're owning. So let's say, for example, you have $100,000 in your account. You, in your example, buy $105,000 of equities. And it goes to your whole total account value goes to 110. You still are on $5,000 in margin. You have to either, as you said, put money into the account to cover that $5,000. Or what you could do is you could sell a little bit of your appreciation and pay off that $5,000 margin debt. Depends on your situation. Depends on what you're looking to do. You're looking to add more capital into your account or not. So I always say margin should be used very sparingly. I think anything more than 5% of your account, you're starting to get over your skis a little bit. And remember, it costs you money to be on margin. So that $5,000, typically you're going to be paying minimum probably 7% and upwards of maybe 12% on annually. So that means the positions that you're holding have to go up as much or more for you to make profit. And so the calculus over an extended period of time is not in your favor. So you want to use margin very sparingly. And no, doesn't just magically go away because you made the right bet and it paid off in the short term. But if you're ever on margin like that, you're doing well, take a little chips off the table, pay that back, and get a little bit more conservative. And it's not conservative to be 100% invested in equities. It's just not crazy by going on too much margin. Thanks for the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Do we have time for Tom? We do not have time for Tom. We will get to Tom from Oregon. He has a call for us after this quick break. So give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go talk to Tom from Oregon. He wants to talk about Airbus. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
Hey, Justin. No, I was looking at buying it, and my as I was looking at buying it, it came up with a foreign transaction fee because I guess it's an unlisted ADR. Yep. Yep. And I was wondering, is there any way around that? Because it, you know, it looks like it could end up eating away at potential gains. The only solution I potentially found was investing into an ETF like EUAD that held it. But I was just wondering if maybe there were any other options to avoid that.
I think it just comes down to which broker has the lowest foreign transaction.
This year, give a gift that goes far beyond the moment. An Invest 529 account. Whether it's a child, grandchild, or someone just starting out, you're helping them save for education that could open doors for a lifetime. Invest 529 is a tax-advantaged way to save for college, trade school, or even apprenticeship programs. It's flexible, easy to start, and you can contribute any amount, big or small. You can even invite your friends and family to join in, making it a meaningful group gift. Each contribution helps build a brighter future, one deposit at a time. And because the money can grow tax-free, it's a gift that really builds value over time. So instead of giving something that gets used up or set aside, give the gift that can change a life. Start an Invest 529 account today. Go to invest529.com to get started.
Fee. So, you know, you can limit that fee, but you're not going to get rid of it. And now I probably wouldn't avoid it altogether just because of that. If it's super attractive, then if the number is small enough compared to the total capital that you lay out, then it probably makes sense. So if it's $50 fee on $50,000, that's not that big of a deal. It's $50 fee on, you know, $500, that is a big deal. Okay. So it just depends on what you're looking to allocate to Airbus. Now, I like it. And, you know, they're probably the best run aviation, large aviation company out there. Why? Because Boeing has been terrible for the past decade plus on safety, on management, etc. And with kind of what's happening of the United States kind of separating themselves from the rest of the world, it has made it so investors are moving towards other types of aerospace companies or plane manufacturers. Now, we own another foreign plane manufacturer for our clients. I can't tell you which one it is, but it actually does have an ADR listed on the U.S. exchange. So that may be a way to go if you're looking for foreign airplane exposure. But I think Airbus is a fine company. It has good profitability, a good balance sheet. The trend is obviously very positive. Return equity 22%, very minimal debt, pays a little bit of a dividend. So you definitely can't go wrong by buying Airbus. And if that's the name you choose, then I would, as long as it's enough capital and it's that foreign transaction be small enough, then I would just go ahead and do it.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. The Fed promised 2%, but we're stuck at 3. We explain why higher for longer is no longer a slogan. It's the reality for 2026. And we had a slew of inflation data. We'll get a little bit more tomorrow with import and export data. But overall, you had PPI and CPI. So yesterday was, the big news was about CPI. And it came in at about 2.7% on the straight up CPI. Core was at 2.6. And today we had PPI. And most people talk about CPI, but PPI is far more important because it's the leading indicator. And that actually reaccelerated a little bit to about 3%. Okay, so what you should probably expect is inflation to reaccelerate in the next 2-3 months. Not dramatically, but mildly. Now, overall, the inflation data was in line with expectations, but it was really driven by a few categories. So housing was number one, coming in at 3.2% year over year. Sorry, not number one, but the biggest driver because of its weighting, shall we say. The biggest growth in price was actually in utilities and gas services. So natural gas prices going up, that was up 10.8% year over year. Electricity prices up 6.7% year over year. Part of that is natural gas. Another part of that is increasing demand from AI data centers. And that's going to be increasingly a hot button issue. Now, gasoline prices year over year were down 3.4%. Fuel oil down, up 7.4%. So that was certainly high. Food away from home, 2.4% year over year. Food at home up, that was 2.4%. Food away from home, 4.1%. So clearly the labor side of running a restaurant is hitting restaurant owners. They're raising prices, and that is reflected in the data here. So mostly there was a reacceleration, but modestly so, like I said, up 2.7% on the day. So the central bank's preferred measure is actually what's called the PCE, Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, and that registered at 2.8% in September. We'll get more data on that, but that's something we'll be looking at as more and more data comes in. We're still kind of getting back from the government shutdown and getting more data on inflation that can really be trusted, and that goes across the board with a lot of different economic data points, but so far, we're just getting back into the groove here. Now, Fed officials are happy kind of keeping rates where they're at for a little while. And the reaction from the bond market was kind of muted. You only had the two-year yield drop 0.03% on the day. That's 3.52%, which what usually that means is that that's where the Fed funds is heading. Okay. So that's not a lot of cuts over the next year. 2-year interest rates, there's expectation of 2 rate cuts by the end of this year. So like I said, not a whole lot of easing from the Fed. So that was the inflation data, and we'll get more and more as the, like I said, the year goes on. You know, there's a lot of questions around inflation, things like what sectors outperform when inflation is stuck at 3%. And the simple answer to that are consumer discretionary. People tend to go out and buy. They tend to try to get ahead of inflation. They also, basic materials that go into these physical products, that typically goes up as well. Obviously, gold, silver, those continue to do well. Sectors that don't do well, typically consumer staples don't do so hot. Tech also typically doesn't do so hot because usually over time, longer term rates go up. And you've seen that as of late. And that does weigh on liquidity and multiples of those growthier names. Another reason why you're seeing, I think, the value side of the market reassert itself to the upside as opposed to the growth side really falling out of bed. And once again, today. And a lot of people are wondering, is it feed into mortgage rates? And the simple answer is yes, if the long end continues to rise. A lot of people are waiting for rates to come back down, and that's simply not happening, and you shouldn't expect it to in any material way. Maybe we'll get down to a 5 handle on mortgage rates or low 5. I think that could be potential later this year, but I wouldn't expect a 4 handle in any way, shape, or form. Even with another couple of rate cuts, I still think you're going to see the mortgage rates elevated for some time because guess what? Inflation is likely to stay elevated. Maybe not 7%, but 3%. We're kind of stuck with, I think, for most of the year. Now let's pivot back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for another call at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Duncan from New York. Thank you for all that you do. As I continue to listen to the podcast that you guys have, it seems like I should start expanding my portfolio to international stocks. So I had VXUS for a while, but I'm trying to explore different ETFs. One ETF that I am going into is SCHF, Schwab International Equity ETF. What I'm hopefully looking for is just an ETF that has a little bit of U.S. stocks, but mostly European and Asia. And it looks like most of the ETFs that I am, including this one, really just have like big exposures to financials and industrials. So am I kind of on the right path right now looking for it? Is SCHF the right one that I should probably focus on next? Or should I keep on just putting money into VXUS? Thank you very much. And this is probably a, you know, medium long-term hold between like 10 to 15 years. Thank you very much. Bye.
Looking at Schwab International Equity SCHF versus the Vanguard Total International Stock Index VXUS. Now, Vanguard is just going to index. There's no real rhyme or reason to the construction of those indices. I mean, there is. It's just the largest. And that's why it's a large cap. Large cap blend ETF, as the caller said, international focused, holds about 8,600 names, and the Schwab one only holds about 1,400 names, but still very similar, a little bit smaller in market cap, but still a blend, still large cap, just a little bit smaller on that front. And let's see, it's a little bit more, let me see, Taiwan Semiconductor on the Vanguard one is the largest holding, nearly 3%, whereas ASML is the largest holding for the Schwab International one. And you're getting a little bit more industrial exposure, which I like, 15.5 from the Vanguard and 18, almost 19% for Schwab. Tech is 12 for the Schwab one versus almost 16% for the Vanguard one. So I'm more inclined to go with the Schwab ETF. I think the overall exposure makes a little more sense. You're getting a little bit better profitability, little bit better cash returns, free cash flow returns. Price to free cash flow is also slightly cheaper as well. So there's just at the margins, I like the portfolio makeup of the Schwab one better as 1,400 names. It's still, you know, very well diversified. And now from a price perspective, let's see which one's cheaper. Yeah, only 3 basis points from the Schwab one and 5 basis points for the Vanguard one. So surprisingly here, Schwab actually beats it out when it comes to cost. So I'm definitely going with the Schwab International Equity ETF over VXUS. Now let's pivot back to another voice call now.
Yeah, hi. I'm curious about what you might have as a suggestion for something in the emerging markets for Brazil. Do you have any suggestions for emerging markets in Brazil? I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, I try to repeat this every time someone asks me a question like this, and it's really about the rules around this show. Being a licensed advisor, an SEC advisor, we're governed by the SEC. I'm licensed, Luke's licensed, etc. And we cannot make recommendations to people that are not our clients. If you're a client or managing your assets, you can call us up. You can ask questions like that. Non-clients, you can ask us about a company. We can give you our opinion. But I cannot say, oh, you want to, in this case, a Brazil company? Here's a Brazil company you should invest in. Does not work like that. Unfortunately, these are the rules. Sorry, we're rule followers. So I can't give you a name. But I will say we do own a couple of names in our portfolio in Brazil. We like certain aspects of their economy, such as materials that maybe come out of Brazil, some industrial names that maybe come out of Brazil as well. But it wouldn't be oil names, I'll say that, because once again, I think oil is in abundant supply and it's easy to move around the world and you can do sanctions, all that. That's why oil prices kind of stay relatively contained here around $60 per barrel. So I like that you're looking at Brazil, and I wish I could give you an answer, but I can't. So hopefully that helped. Let's play another caller question now.
Hello, I was hoping you could talk about maybe comparing SoFi versus New Holdings, that's SOFI and NU. I was just wondering if you see value in holding both of them or if there was just one you like more than the other. Thank you so much.
All right, so looking at SoFi, SOFI, or New Holdings, and New Holdings is a Brazilian bank and provides digital platform and services. It's growing considerably. And whereas SoFi is a more domestic fintech company, earnings supposed to be 58 cents this year, trading at even higher multiples. It's growing fast, but I don't love frankly, I'm not in love with either. Both are pretty expensive. And I think you're barking up a tree that is frankly fading right now. And you can see that with SoFi. This one peaked out back in, let me go to a one-year chart here. It peaked out in November, kind of similar to the broader NASDAQ, and has been in a kind of a mini downtrend ever since. Peaked around 32, now it's at 26. So I don't love that momentum, and so I wouldn't own that one. When it comes to New Holdings, I like the foreign exposure, but I'm also getting the vibes that the momentum is slowing as well. Now, if I'm picking one or the other, I'm picking New Holdings. Like I said, I like Brazil. I think there's some growth there that obviously it is picking up good return on equity, solid balance sheet, good free cash flow. The chart is much better than SoFi and trading at more reasonable valuations as well. So if I'm picking one or the other, I'd pick New Holdings. But also, I'd probably continue to look within the tech space or the fintech space. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART. Lloyd from Wisconsin, hang on, you will be next.
Everybody wants a secure financial future, but getting there takes strategy, discipline, and the right information. That means you'll have finance and investment questions. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
We're going to go talk to Lloyd from Wisconsin, looking at DOCS, which I believe is Doximity, correct?
Yeah, yep, that's correct.
Okay. And do you own it, looking to buy it? What brought you to this name?
Yeah, this is one I've been slowly adding to. You know, it seems like a pretty good software as a service company in the telehealth, you know, growing space there. Good, you know, top and bottom line figures, good balance sheet, buying back shares, good growth. Seem to be doing a lot of things right, but the stock has really pulled back recently. Just curious your opinions on it and if you see this as a good entry price.
Well, you're right. There are... It is a good business, has a clean balance sheet, free cash flow about $300 million, but it still has an enterprise value of about $7 billion. So only about a 4% free cash flow yield there. It's okay, not amazing. They're actually issuing shares as of late, it looks like. Let me look here. Yeah, they were buying back shares up until the summer of 2024 when they had about 185 million shares outstanding. Now they have 188 million shares outstanding. So not a dramatic move in shares, but they're no longer buying back shares. So that's a bit of a worry on that front. Their earnings are continuing to go up, which is good, but growth is slowing. So that's the issue here is last year earnings were up 49%. This year earnings are supposed to be only up 11% and then up 9% next year. So what's happening here is the multiple is simply contracting for good reason, because growth is slowing. Obviously, there's risk of AI. Is AI going to usurp kind of their business in any way, shape, or form? That's a risk here that is non-zero. That's a risk with all of these SaaS companies that you certainly have to be aware of. Now, where is this likely headed? I think this is headed to about $35 per share. That's where it broke out back in the summer of last year. And that's probably where I would think about picking it up. So we're trading around 40 now. We're not far from there. Still another 10, 15% down. And certainly the trend is down. The trend is not your friend right here. And so I think it's going to need to hit some major bottom. You're probably going to want to see some big spike in volume as well to mark that bottom. I'd be looking for that. But overall, I generally like it because of that strong profitability, that strong balance sheet, free cash flow that is good, not amazing, but good and near an all-time high. So I think that's a positive. So I think picking it up around at 35 would probably be where I would be a bit more aggressive, and that'd really get aggressive if I see a spike in volume and a reversal candle. That's what I would be waiting for to really get into this name in earnest.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. That was DOCS, Doximity. Doximity is the name of the company. Now, lastly, as we close up, let's talk a little bit about bank earnings. We had JP Morgan yesterday, which saw profits decline 7% due to a drop in investment banking revenue, as well as more reserves set aside for possible loan losses. So clearly they're seeing some issues from the credit perspective. And then Wells Fargo and Citigroup reported today. Wells Fargo was down 4.7%, Citi down 3.3% on the day. Citi reported a 13% decline in fourth quarter earnings, even as revenue was up 2%. Wells Fargo reported lower than expected income, net income as well. And so you have that on top of the fact that President Trump is calling for a cap of 10% on credit card rates, which that is a profit center for the banks, as well as, you know, that would probably crash the economy because banks would just pull credit lines rather quickly. And so I don't really think that's going to happen, but certainly that's weighing on these companies in the near term. And you also saw weakness once again out of tech consumer discretionary. And so it was really a drag on the market today and something to continue to watch. If they're worried about their profits and the overall economy, loan loss reserves continue to rise, that is a message that the economy is weakening as we head into 2026. Now, I'm Justin Klein. If today's show made you think about your own financial picture in any way, your investments, your taxes, your retirement, and your broader financial plan, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com, click on the portfolio review button, and schedule a call with myself or Luke. We can go over your assets, liabilities, income, expenses, project that out, Roth conversion strategies, Social Security strategies. Should you get a trust or a will? These things are all what we do for our clients, and we can discuss that with you. Now, please remember to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Or YouTube. And be sure to rate and review at iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.